This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message entitled, And God Said, Part 4, Pastor Aaron provides three easy steps to help us remember how to respond in a way that shows that we love God with more than just words. This message was delivered on April 9th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Can we say thank you to New Hope East Hawaii Sign Ministry one more time? Aren't they wonderful? Not only do we have the best looking sign team, we get the best hearted sign team on the island, right? Let my words be few. I love that song. I remember when that song first came out, I would sing it all the time. Then I realized, hey, I'm using too many words. You know, and God placed this song in my heart to go along with today's message. I thought, what better way to make the presentation than to do it in such a way without words and use our sign team? I'm glad we got to do that today. And I want to wish you, first of all, a happy Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday, 1 week before Easter. This was the day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city. And the thing about it is everybody was you know, crying out, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They're crying out, praise the King coming in. The thing about that is just a few days later, it wasn't very long later, they forgot all about that. And instead of crying out, praise the King, they were crying out for his crucifixion. My prayer is that we will not forget that. Don't forget that. The Easter Sunday is coming up when Jesus Christ laid out his life for our eternity. Don't ever forget that Jesus is always King. Amen? And, you know, the song that they just did also reminded me of this story that one of my friends had told me. He's also a pastor, a very hard-working pastor. I think he works way too hard. And he told me this story about one time that he had to actually take a sabbatical because he was breaking down. So what he did was he went to this monastery. And at the monastery, the monks and everybody who enters that has to take a vow of silence as long as they're there. And he was doing this for 1 week. Now, the problem with that we caught right away was that this guy is an extreme extrovert. He cannot shut up for 1 second. Always got to be talking, always got to be doing something. And, you know, the guys who were listening to this, to him say that, told him, so how did you survive 1 week? And he kind of smirked, and then he said, every night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would sneak out, go down to my car, push it out of the parking lot, and then go down into the city, find a 24-hour coffee shop, and do all my work there. And that's how he survived. And he said, I would talk to every person who walked in the door, whether they wanted to or not. And then he said, but then, one night while I was sneaking back in, one of the monks actually happened to be up, and I got caught. And I thought, oh, no, I'm busted. They're going to kick me out. And then he said, then I thought, he took a vow of silence. Who's he going to tell? But then he went on to tell his story about how he went through that week and what a wonderful, refreshing time it was, even not using words. But the thing that really caught me about his story was when he said this. He said, you know the monks, the only time that they lift their voices is first thing in the morning. As soon as the sun comes up, they all get together and they lift their voices in praise unto the Lord. I thought, that'd be so awesome. What if my life was like that? That the only time I would open my mouth and say something was in praise unto the Lord in all that I do. Well, today we're wrapping up this series entitled, And God Said. And over the last 3 weeks, we've discussed the power of God's words, especially in chaotic times. We've talked about learning how to hear God's voice, and last week, Pastor Scott delivered an awesome message on when God says no. That was a mean message, yeah? I'm so glad he didn't assign me that one. because I hate when God tells me no. Well, if you've missed any of it, I'm going to encourage you, go on newhopeasthawaii.com. Real simple. newhopeasthawaii.com. And all of the sermons are recorded, their audio version. Go ahead and listen to that. And God said, well, when God speaks, we've talked about this, when God speaks, things happen. It's been from the beginning of time. God said it, it happens. That's the power of our God, that he just says it and nature obeys. Question is, what about us? When we speak, do things happen? Do good things happen? When we talk, does life follow? When we open our mouths to utter something, does it always come to pass? Let me ask us all this. How many promises have we made that are still unfulfilled? How many good intentions have we spoken that are still lying on the table? When God speaks, things happen, but not so much with us, yeah? The truth is, and I'll be the first to admit this, that this is me. The truth is that we do a whole lot more talking than taking action. Amen? And I think the Apostle Paul addressed this matter best in his first letter to the Corinthians when he told them this. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." I love that scripture. You know what Paul was saying? He was saying that in God's kingdom, there's always action. It's not about just, it's not about saying. It's all about doing. And now don't raise your hands to this question, okay? But how many of us know somebody who can talk an incredible story, but never does one of the things that they say? Now don't raise your hands again. But how many of us see that person in the mirror sometime? I remember this one time, I was visiting this one church, and after the service was over, they meet, just like us, they meet in somebody else's building, so they have to set up and break down. And after service, there was this group of their men's ministry. Now, it's not our men's ministry, okay, just want you to know that. But this group of men's ministry was meeting on a table in the corner. And they were talking about all the things that they were going to do and about getting a conference where they would get all the churches together and they'd do this great, amazing thing. And talking and talking and talking about it. While this one lady in their church was putting everything away all by herself, breaking down tables. And my heart just broke right there and I saw that. So I jumped in and started helping her. And we started putting things away. And just about when we were done, one of the guys from the table looked over at us and he told her, "Hey, you stay sweating." And she looked at him and she said, "That's because I do what you talk about." Never forget that one. I will never forget that one. I do what you talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but I tell God that I love him with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. I tell him that all the time. But very often, less than 5 minutes later, I'm treating somebody unkindly or talking badly about somebody or acting in such a way that does not give God honor, let alone display any love for him. And I can just hear him saying, "You say you love me, but your actions say something else. Don't tell me. Show me." How many of you, when you saw the title of today's message, remember the song that it's entitled, More Than Words, back in the 90s? One of my favoriteest songs in the whole world, of all time. Probably my favorite of all time. And back in the 90s, I remember, I heard that song, I would sing it all the time. And then one day, somebody from my church, the church that I was attending at that time, heard me singing it. And they told me, "Ooh, Pastor, bad, 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 bad. Why are you singing that song?" And I said, "Oh, it's a nice song. I love that song." And they said, "No, that song is bad. It pornographic meanings." And I backed up a little bit and I thought about it. And you know what I did? I stopped singing that song because I heard that. Well, some years later, when I'm working for Helco, one of my friends who was is also a Christian brother, and we were driving out to Kau and listening to the radio talking story, that song comes on, More Than Words. And he starts singing, and I changed the station right away. He told me, what are you doing? It's a nice song. And I said, no, that song is bad. And he said, who told you that? He said, if you will only listen. He said, you think it's bad because you're listening to it with the wrong heart. He said, if you only listen to the words, you would hear God singing to you. I thought, what? He said, yeah, listen to the words. And he turned the music up. And then the second verse came on. And I remember for the first time listening to it in such a way that God was singing to me. And this is what I heard. And now that I've tried to talk to you and make you understand, all you have to do is close your eyes and just reach out your hand and touch me. Hold me close, don't ever let me go. More than words is all I ever needed you to show. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, 'cause I'd already know. How many of you wanted to sing along with me? Why you never? I'll put down money that you'll never hear that song the same way again. Because isn't that God's heart? That we would love him with more than words. That we'd reach out our hands, use our hands and our feet and our heart to touch his heart. That we would be more, not just words, but people of action when we love God. Amen? So how do I love God with more than words? Let me give you the three components of doing so. And the first one is that we hear. The first step is always to hear God, which means that we have to put ourselves in a place where we're listening for him. And I'm not going to go heavy into detail on this one because Pastor Scott already did that in the second week, 2 weeks ago. Again, newhopeeasthawaii.com if you missed that one. Very good sermon. The point that I do want to make, that I want to emphasize, is that we need to hear him. And we cannot do that unless we are willing and available. I love the story about how God first spoke to the prophet named Samuel. He did so when he was just a little boy. And you know why God chose to speak to Samuel? He spoke to him because Samuel was willing and available to hear him. He wasn't distracted by everything else. He wasn't too busy talking, but willing and available. And it says that, and the Lord came and called as before, said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Don't you just love Samuel's response to God? What does he say? He says, speak, your servant is listening. He doesn't say, oh good, Lord, you're here. I need this, this, and this. He doesn't complain to God about everything going wrong in his life. He simply says, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Now bear in mind that Samuel is just a child when this happens, somewhat around the age of my Hanai Mopuna, Kalena Ala. Kale, where are you? Right there. Come up. Come up here with Uncle. This is Kalena Ala Paradis. Everybody welcome her. She's 3 years old. No. She's seven. She'll always be three to me. This one's special to me, okay? I'll tell you why. Because we used to babysit her when she was just a baby. Her first word was daddy. Second word, Uncle Aaron. But Kalei is going to help me out with something that I taught her. Because after she learned Uncle Aaron, she never did shut up. Okay, Kalei, you ready? You help me out here? Okay, ready? Come on. Two. Talking to the mic.
Two ears. Two eyes. One mouth.
Which means?
More listening, less talking.
Yeah. Thank you, baby girl. I told her, one day I'm going to pull you up on stage and do that. She never knows today. More looking, more listening, less talking. I believe that God designed us this way so we would do that. But doesn't always work that way, does it? You know, hearing is done with the ears. It's also done with the eyes. Hearing is never done with the mouth. Sometimes God will speak things to us. Sometimes He'll have somebody else speak things to us, and we'll hear it, or we won't hear it if we're not listening. Sometimes God will show us something rather than speak it. He'll show us someone in need through our vision, and again, we'll miss it if our eyes are not listening. Every time we read His Word, every time we get into the Bible and our eyes catch something that is written there, that's God speaking to us from thousands of years ago for that very moment. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So hearing is done with the eyes and with the ears and also the eyes. And when we do hear something from God, this is called information. It's called information. When we are willing and available, God will give us information through our eyes and our ears to show us. He'll show us exactly how to love Him, how we get to love Him. Now, information is vital. Yes, it is. But on its own, it doesn't amount to anything. Now, information will do either one of two things. It'll either drop down to the mouth, and we'll talk about it, go from the eyes and the ears and go down to the mouth, and then we'll stop talking about it. You know what that's called? It's called gossip. For example, God shows you somebody in need, somebody maybe hurting, and you see that person. If it comes out like this, this is gossip. You know, I saw so-and-so, and she's hurting. And I think she's hurting because of her husband. No. I know she's hurting because of her husband. You know why? Because he pilao. And I told her no marry him, but oh, she don't listen. She don't listen. And now, you know, the other day, I saw him. He was making eyes at this other girl. Yeah, I saw him making eyes at this other girl. You know what? I think they, no, I know they're fooling around, those two. That's why she's still hurting. And that girl, you know, I heard that she was in the bar all the time, and she's doing drugs, and she's drinking and doing drugs. Oh, that's why she's hurting. Now, that is not what God wants. That's gossip. So, when you get information from God, first thing you do is do not let it drop to your mouth. Let it go a little bit deeper and drop into the heart. Drop into the heart so that it can be processed. And that's number two, is to process. And the heart is the great processor. And how we process always depends on how good the heart is. Loving God depicts that we always choose to process with a good heart. So very often when God gives us information, we can choose to process the worldly way. What's the worldly way? The worldly way is when we say, what's in it for me? Or how can I use this to make myself look good? Now, I've been around many churches for many years, and I see this happen all the time, especially with the worship team. But now with my worship team. I'm going to brag on them for a little bit, okay, if you don't mind. How do I know that this doesn't happen in my worship team, in our worship team? Because you see the guys who are up here. You watch them. They're up here week after week. They come early in the morning at 7 o'clock to practice the songs that we get to sing so that we can do them well for all of us, so that we can sound good before God, whether we can sing or not. But I know that that's not their heart, that it's not all about them, because even when it's inconvenient, they're here. Even when it's inconvenient, they continue to show up. Even when we're tired, they keep coming. That's how I know that this worship team loves God in this way. Same thing with the PowerPoint. Same thing with the ushers and the greeters. Same thing with our children's ministry. Hey, there's nothing glorious about that, except that you love kids and love God. There's nothing glorious about showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning here to set up our church. Nothing convenient about that, I can tell you that. But the guys keep showing up. Why? Because we get to love God in this way. It's not about me, it's about He. Amen? Hebrews 24 is a great measure on how to process correctly. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's how you process correctly. Now, processing is also vital. Why? Because processing brings forth inspiration. Now, inspiration, just like information, will do one of two things. It'll come up out of the heart and either go to the mouth again or to the hands and the feet. Now, way too often, again, it goes to the mouth. When a person hears God, processes what he hears, and then comes up to somebody in the church and says, hey, listen, God said you guys need to do this. Now, I love when people come up to me and say, Pastor, God said this church needs to do this. You know what I tell them? And bear this in mind now if you're thinking of telling me that. I always tell them, good. So what are you going to do about it? You know why I tell them that? Because God didn't tell me. He told you. If God inspires you to do something, don't talk about it. Don't let it go from the heart to the mouth. Let it go from the heart to the hands and the feet. And that's number three. The culmination of hearing God and processing what to do about it is to act. And I'm not talking about acting like you know what you're doing or acting Christian-like. Can be if you like be on the drama team, it can be act. But it is to act, okay? Hebrews 4 tells us, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. For it is not the hearers, Romans 2 says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And Matthew 7 says, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. All three of these scriptures talk about the word of God in action. That's why I put them up there. The word of God is what? Alive and active. Or your Bibles might read, living and active. And sure, right now it's just words written in a book, shown up here on the screen. But you know how it becomes alive? The word of God comes alive when we start to do what God is asking us to do. Let me say that again. The Word of God becomes alive when we start to do what God is asking us to do. When we start serving other people, when we start to live in such a way that shows the world how much God loves him, how good he is. When we start to preach the gospel, not with our mouths, but with our hands and our feet, that's when the Word of God comes to life. Now, I've heard it said, preach the gospel at all times, and only when necessary, use words. And that's what we're called to do. This is called incarnation. Incarnation, when the Word becomes alive. Alive and active, how? Through us. Now, I know right now that many of you have the inclination, not incarnation, now, inclination to put your notes away, right? Because that was the last thing on the notes. Don't do that. Okay, because as you know me, I always have a bottom line. I got a really long one for you today, okay? Just getting you ready. But before I get to the bottom line, let me ask you this. What is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? Is he asking you to serve? Is he asking you to be a part of this worship team? Is he asking you to be a part of the PowerPoint? Just think about what are your talents? What are the things you enjoy? You can do them here in church and serve God and act with more than words. You can. You're a morning person? I'd sure love to have you at 5 o'clock in the morning here setting up with us. The point is that God has a place for you and something for you to do. And he's already speaking to you if you will listen. If you'll hear him, he's speaking to you of where you get to love him with more than words. Next week, Easter is coming up. Who is he speaking to you about? Who do you get to invite? And not just with your words, but who do you get to love into the kingdom of God? Somebody did that for you. Somebody loved God with more than words to love you into his kingdom. And that's what he's asking us to do this week. So here's the bottom line. Okay, you ready? Two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, one mouth. Looks like we missed a couple. Two hands and two feet, one mouth. So more looking, more listening, more doing, less talking. Hear, process, and act. This is how we love God with more than words. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Scott?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. What a wonderful message. I guess I better learn how to sign so I can talk less. Aloha. Wow. I'd like to invite the worship team up. What a wonderful series. And like he said, if you missed any of it, go to newhopeasthawaii.com and you can listen to the whole series about how God speaks to us and God said. And he is always speaking. I think sometimes we just need to kind of lean in and it's like, are you listening to him? Because he's always speaking. We just got to say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Amen. Would you all stand and we are going to worship the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.